Well, you can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 17 tonight. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on the topic of prayer. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 was a very popular choose your own retemery verse as kids. Because it's quite short, easy to remember. But it says, pray without ceasing. And we know that the word of God is the will of God, which means that it's God's will for our lives that we pray, and that we pray a lot. Right? Pray without ceasing doesn't mean don't ever stop praying. That would be impossible. But it does mean to pray a lot, right? That we shouldn't ever get to the point in our lives where prayer is taking a backseat to other things. And Dr. Werewolf said in Lifelines that prayer is the living word on the lips of believers. That prayer is the living word on the lips of believers. So go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. What does it mean to pray? At its most basic level, prayer is talking with God. That's kind of what prayer boils down to, right? And how much time we devote to talking with our Heavenly Father is going to be proportional to our relationship and fellowship with God, right? And that makes sense. That's the way it is with most human beings, too. If you don't talk to somebody for hardly ever, then you don't have much of a relationship with them. And if you talk to somebody every day, then you probably have a great relationship with them. Well, it's the same way with God, right? We want to make sure that if we want to walk truly spiritual lives, that we need to get busy praying more. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, oh, sorry, 1 Timothy, I'm in 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And this is kind of a neat verse because it lists out some categories or types of prayer, right? Prayer is sort of the most general terms. It does indicate a talking with God. A supplication is a request or asking for something, typically with humbleness or earnestness. So we can ask God for things, right? That's what it means to make a supplication. Intercession is praying on behalf of someone or something else, right? So we can pray for people. We can pray for situations, right? We can go to God and ask Him to take care of things. And giving of thanks is a thankful acknowledgement of what God's done and includes praise for God. So one of the things that we can do when we pray is to just thank Him for things that we're thankful for, or praise Him for the things that really bless us, right? We don't have to go to Him just to ask Him for stuff or just to pray for a situation or pray for someone else. We can talk to God and just tell Him how thankful we are, right? So there's lots of different ways that you can communicate with God and categories that we can talk to Him about. And He shows us that in His Word. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Now this is Jesus Christ, and He's teaching His disciples about prayer. And Jesus Christ, as we know, is the only begotten Son of God, so I would hope He would know a thing or two about praying, right? About talking with His dad. And it says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of who?
Men.
Men. So they're doing it for attention, to get notoriety. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Right? So, you know, it's not that every time we pray we should go find ourselves a closet to get into. But our heart should be that it's a one-on-one relationship with God, right? We're not out there praying so that other people think we're cool or think we're spiritual, right? It should be a personal and private relationship with God. Verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Right? So that was another thing that was common at the time, was for, you know, these people who were worshiping idols and stuff to have these chants or these things that they would repeat over and over and over again in hopes that, you know, this God of theirs would hear them. And Jesus Christ is saying, it's not about like some rehearsed thing that you say over and over and over again. It's a relationship again with God. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Right? And that's kind of cool to think about. God obviously is omnipotent. He knows everything. He knows what's on your heart. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows the very hairs on your head. So he knows what you have need of. And yet he still wants us to go to him with that stuff, right? It's not like he's just like, I already know it. I already know it. Don't talk to me. I already know it. I already know it. He wants us to go to him with those things because he wants a relationship with you. And at the very core of all of this, like I said, prayer is about a relationship with God. And that's why he wants you to come to him. Verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So Jesus Christ here is giving them an example of how they can pray. Now, we know many churches have now just taken this prayer and turned it into a vain repetition that they say, right? And missed the whole point of the preceding verses. This is something that they rehearse. But this was meant to be an example to them, right? It says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? And that sounds like praise, right? One of the categories we read about. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? And that's more of a conversation, simply prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Right? That's a supplication, asking God for something. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, it wraps it up with praise and with thankfulness. So this is just meant to be an example of prayer, but he was trying to instruct them, this is what prayer looks like. It's about a relationship with God, right? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. And Jesus Christ understood this when he was teaching his disciples. It says in verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Don't look at what he looks like or how big he is, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the what?
Heart.
Heart. That's what God cares about. He's not in it for the spectacle. He doesn't care about the Pharisees who are out on the street corners or in the synagogues. He cares about the heart. That's what God cares about. He wants to know what's on your heart when you pray, right? Where's your heart at when you pray? Are you coming to God? Are you pouring it out? That's what God cares about. He wants to know what's on your heart. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, Jesus Christ also knew this. Jeremiah 29, verse 12. Jeremiah 29:12, it says, "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will" what? "Hearken unto you." God will hear us. When we pray, God hears us. Right? So when he was teaching them about what the heathen do, that they, you know, their vain repetitions, hoping their gods would hear them, Jesus Christ knew and understood that when we pray, God hears us. He hears us. And then verse 13 says, "And you shall seek me and find me, and you shall search for me with all your heart." Right? With all your heart. So when we look for God, when we go to God, we're going to find him. Right? He's right there with us. He wants us to go look for him. He wants us to pray to him. And he wants us to do it with all our heart, right? He wants our whole hearts, right? And our key, our heart is key to answered prayer, right? Our heart is key to answered prayer. What's on our heart when we pray? Are we praying just because that sounds like the cool thing we should do? Or we've been, people tell us, "Well, I'm going through this, should I pray about it?" Or are we going to God with a heart that says, "I believe you can take care of this. I'm going to you, God, because I trust that you'll take care of this for me," right? Believing takes place in the heart, and believing is what activates our receiving. Go to Mark 11, 20. Mark 11, 20. Mark chapter 11, verse 20, it says, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God," or simply, "believe God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his" what?
Heart.
In his heart. "But shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Right? So that's what's important about our heart, right? Our heart is the key to answered prayer, because we need to believe in our heart that we'll receive an answer. It's important that we pray with believing. Right? That's what activates our receiving. Results come with believing. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Right? God doesn't want you just saying the words to say it. Right? That's what Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples not to do. God wants you to come to him with your heart and believing that he will take care of it. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So that's another key, right? It's important that we know what God's word says, because we want our prayers to align with his word. If we ask God things that are contrary to his word, we shouldn't expect to receive them, right? It's pretty simple. So if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him, right? And again, that knowing is that confidence, right? When we pray, we want to know that God hears us. We want to believe that God's going to answer that prayer. Otherwise, it's just a lot of hot air, right? God wants us to come to him with our whole heart and trusting in him. Go to Luke 11. And sometimes we can get hung up on that, right? We're just kind of going through the prayer motions. But we want to take some time to really get quiet with God and, you know, make sure that our heart lines up with what his word says and that our expectations line up, that we're believing when we pray. Luke 11, chapter 1, or verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Okay, so there you have Jesus Christ, he's praying. And the disciples see him praying, and they're like, I want to know how to pray too. And he turned unto them, he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, so he gives them an example, and then he starts to teach them. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Very late at night, for asking for bread. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Leave me alone, trouble me not. The door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, like even though this guy's his friend, he's not going to get up and go give it to him, he's in bed with his kids, everybody's asleep. Yet because of his importunity, which means persistence to the point of annoyance, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Right? If the guy just keeps asking, he'll get up and give him the bread because he just gets so annoyed. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. God bless you. Now, this little parable or teaching that he gave is not instruction that we pester God with our asking. It was more a cultural thing. Like, the question was a rhetorical one in terms of, like, would you go and wake up your friend to get 3 loaves of bread, you know, at midnight? It was, that would have been sort of, like, very ungracious thing to do, right? And Jesus Christ is saying that, you know, if you got really annoying with it, the guy would give it to you. What he was teaching them was that they can go to God with whatever they need, whenever they need it. Doesn't matter what time of day it is. It doesn't matter what the ask is. He was saying, you can go to your Heavenly Father and ask, right? Not that you're annoying God. He was trying to teach them that all they have to do is have the boldness to go ask God for things. And that's why he says again in verse 9, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Those are shalls. Those are absolutes. So he was trying to teach them that they got to ask, right? They need to feel comfortable going to God and asking him and expecting to receive, right? If you just kept pestering your buddy at midnight for loaves of bread, right, you'd get that bread. Well, we can go to God with that same expectation that when we ask, when we seek, or when we knock, he's going to answer. Verse 10, for everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Right? We ask for these things. Are we going to get the counterfeit? No. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, right? As fathers, he was teaching these men, as fathers, would you give them a counterfeit? No, you would give them what they asked for. And we're not perfect. And we sin. So if we know how to give the things to our kids that they ask for, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Right? Isn't God better than us as earthly fathers? Yeah. So we just need to go to God and ask. It's about how we should be comfortable going to God and expecting with boldness that he's going to answer, right? That we will be confident in his delivery of the good things that we've been promised. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. So when his disciples asked, "Can you teach us how to pray?" Jesus Christ's response boiled down to, yeah, go ask God. Have a conversation with him. Just have the boldness to go and ask him for it. Because that's what God wants. He wants your heart. He wants to know what's going on. Because he wants to take care of it. James 5:13. This section is about being instant in prayer and the power of prayer. And says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing" what? Songs. And that's praising God. Are you in trouble? Well, go to God and pray about it. Are you really blessed and everything's good? Well, go tell God how blessed you are. Right? Go talk to God. Is any sick among you? And that word sick is weak. Is any weak among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, or prayer with believing, shall save the sick or the weary, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that you may be what? Healed. We can pray for each other so that we can get delivered. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Right? And that's such a cool sentence. Right? The effectual, fervent prayer, the white hot heat of prayer in a person who really believes, does amazing things. It avails much. It's a force. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elias was a guy just like us. Speaking of Elijah. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Can you imagine having to pray for that every day for that long? As things dried up around you, as the brook dried up, as you know, the widow woman's meal went dry. Like, he had to keep believing and praying for 3.5 years that it wouldn't rain. And he was just a man like us. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Right? There's great power in prayer. What Elijah prayed for meant that it didn't rain for 3.5 years. It doesn't rain here for like a month and things are kind of bleak looking. 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and it rained, right? And that was all because of his relationship with God and his believing in what God told him he needed to do. So we'll close in Luke chapter 6. There's great power in prayer. Because there's great power in a relationship with God. And that's ultimately what prayer is all about. Jesus Christ was a great example of prayer. as we will see. I'm not going to go to, I'm only going to one place, but there's tons of spots in the gospel that talk about how often Jesus Christ prayed and when he made time to pray. He was a busy guy, but he always made time to pray with God, to keep that relationship with the Father first and foremost. Luke 6, verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray." He didn't just go into his closet. He went to a mountain. He found a very solitary, quiet place to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Why? Well, verse 13, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples," all the people that had been following him, "and of them, from those disciples, he chose 12, whom he also named," what?
Apostles.
Right? So when we have big decisions to make, we should include God. Right? He went out to pray because he needed to know who these 12 guys were that God wanted him to call apostles. Prayer is a crucial part of our walk with God. If we've got big decisions to make, we've got things going on in our life, we should make time to include God in them so that we can be sure we're making the right decision. So that we can be sure that, you know, the answers that he gives us are ones that we can rely on and trust in, right? So prayer is a vital part of our relationship with God. And ultimately, that's where we'll have a very blessed life, a very spiritual walk, and we'll see great abundance, right? The more we pray in our lives, the more we'll see this, these things come to pass and this fruit manifest in our lives. So I challenge you all to make more time to pray, to talk with God. It's something I can do better and we can all do better, do more of. But it's one of those things that will really sort of activate great things in our life as we make time to do it.